Okay, well, we've been having some fellowship on our service to the Lord. And we've been emphasizing the matter of our practical service. So serving, for example, in the book room, serving in the tape room, we have all manner of practical service required in the church life. So this morning we want to continue having fellowship regarding a different aspect of service, which is the church meetings. Most of us don't think of the meeting of the church as a kind of service, but this is a real important service to the Lord. In the picture in the Old Testament, the Israelites came together to serve God by offering sacrifices and worshiping God in that way. We worship in the New Testament by bringing Christ together.
Amen.
We come together with Christ to worship God with Christ and by Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The first meeting that we come to in the Lord's table, first meeting we come to in the church life is the beginning of our service. Before we come to a meeting, we've never served. But when we come to the meeting of the church, we come to serve God.
Hallelujah.
That's the initiation of our service. So we need our mind renewed to realize to meet is to serve.
Amen.
When we're meeting together, we're serving God.
Amen.
Now, if you look at your outline, we'll just go through this quickly. The outline points out that in the church life, there are two categories of meetings. One category we call the ministry meetings. The other category are the church meetings. The ministry meetings are, number one, to preach the gospel. Number two, to give a report of God's work. And number three, to read the scriptures. So in Acts chapter 2, we see the first example of a gospel meeting when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached the gospel to all those that were gathered together. That was not a church meeting. That was a meeting of the ministry to preach the gospel. Then in Acts, we see an example of a meeting to give a report of God's work. When Paul and the brothers returned from their journey, they gave a report to the church and told how the Lord had blessed them in their travels. The third type of ministry meeting is a meeting to read the scriptures. So examples of this are the seven feasts that we have throughout the year. Also, the Wednesday night ministry meeting that we watch in our homes is also a meeting for the ministry of the Word. So in the church life, we have these three kinds of ministry meetings, which are not meetings of the church, but meetings for the ministry. Then we come to Roman numeral 2, the church meetings. The first meeting of the church is the Lord's table meeting. I'm going to read some verses from the Bible, and you have to understand that I don't have my Bible up here on the table with me, but I've copied the verses onto this sheet. So when I read the verse, don't think this is something that I made up. This is from the Bible. Okay, the first point is that the Lord's table meeting was held initially by the church every day. So in Acts chapter 2, it says that they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread and the prayers. And in verse 46, day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart. So this verse says that day by day they broke bread. That means day by day, every day, they had the Lord's table. This was at the initial stage of the church life. But by the time of Acts chapter 20, the churches were not having the Lord's table every day, because in this verse it says, Paul came to the saints in Troas, where he says, we spent 7 days. They spent an entire week in Troas. And it says that in Troas, on the first day of the week, when we gathered together to break bread. So in Troas, they broke bread on the first day of the week. That's the Lord's day. So by that time, they were not breaking bread every day, but weekly. So this is why we have the Lord's table every week on the Lord's Day morning. Now, just a word about this title, the Lord's Day. In Acts 1:10, John says, I was in spirit on the Lord's Day. Revelation 1:10. I was in spirit on the Lord's Day. The term Sunday is a pagan, idolatrous name for the first day of the week. This term was adopted by the Roman Catholic Church. But we, in our understanding, we need to realize the Bible calls this the first day of the week or the Lord's Day. Amen. You never see the word Sunday in the Bible. Amen. Because that's not a term that honors the Lord. So the Lord, He took the day away from the sun, and he was raised on that day. So on this day, the first day of the week, we remember the Lord's resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He was raised on the first day.
Hallelujah.
So this is not a day for the sun.
Right.
This is a day for the remembrance of the Lord.
Amen.
And remembering his resurrection.
Amen.
Sunday has become a worldly day for entertainment, for enjoyment, for sports, and all kinds of recreation.
Amen.
But in the Bible, this day is a day dedicated to the Lord.
Amen.
This is a day when we remember the Lord,
yes,
when we worship the Lord,
amen,
a day for the Lord that we should devote to the Lord and his interests.
Amen.
So may the Lord recover this among us. Point two says, to partake of the Lord's table. This is referred to in 1 Corinthians 10:21. He says, you cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the demon's table. So the term Lord's table here indicates a feast. When we come to the Lord's table, we're coming to a feast, to feast on the Lord himself.
Amen.
As our food and our enjoyment.
Amen.
And then in 1 Corinthians 11:20, it's called the Lord's Supper. So it's the Lord's table and it's the Lord's Supper. It's not the Lord's breakfast. It's not the Lord's lunch. It's the Lord's Supper. And the word supper indicates a meal in the evening. When the Lord instituted the Lord's table, he initiated it in the evening, on the night of the Passover. So ideally, we would have the Lord's Supper in the evening. And we used to do this in all the churches. We used to have the Lord's Supper in the evening. But when we changed to prophesying, we were concerned, because of our weakness, that we could not all come to the Lord's to the meeting of the church twice in one day. This is due to our weakness. Someday, ideally, we would love to return to having the Lord's table in the evening, the Lord's Supper. Some churches still have it in the evening, but we've had it in the morning for some time. But we still need to understand that even though it's in the morning, it's a supper, which indicates that it's a restful, a peaceful enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen.
When you eat breakfast, you're looking forward to working all day long. When you eat supper, your work is over. You're relaxing, you're resting, and you're enjoying. So this should be the atmosphere of the Lord's Supper. And point four says, the Lord's table is to remember the Lord. We may have a false understanding that the Lord's table is to remember the Lord's death. The Bible does not say that. The Lord, when he instituted the supper, he said, do this in remembrance of me.
Amen.
He didn't say, do this in remembrance of my death. Do this in remembrance of me. And again, in 1 Corinthians 11:24, this do unto the remembrance of me. So we need to realize the focus of the Lord's table is remembering the Lord.
Amen.
It's not for any other purpose. And we'll fellowship more about this next week. We're only going to cover the first 5 points in this outline today. But we need to emphasize this matter, that when we come together to the Lord's table, we are remembering the Lord. And we are focusing on him. So all of the hymns we call, all of the prayers we pray, all the praises we offer,
Amen.
Should be focused on the Lord himself.
Amen.
Some hymns are not appropriate for the Lord's table meeting. In fact, one time Brother Lee said, some hymns were never intended to be sung. That shocked me when I heard that. But this hymnal is very, very complete. And it's really helpful if you study the table of contents sometime at the beginning. There's a table of contents showing all the categories of the hymns. The blessing of the Trinity, the worship of the Father, praise of the Lord, fullness of the Spirit, assurance and joy of salvation. So when we come to the Lord's table, we should prepare to bring a hymn that focuses on the Lord himself.
Amen.
Not on our experience so much, not on ourselves. Sometimes in the Lord's table meeting, if a brother called a hymn on fighting for the Lord's interests, that would not be so appropriate for the Lord's table meeting. There are many hymns in here. All of these hymns are very good, but not all of these hymns are appropriate for the Lord's table. How do you know? We have to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
To consider the hymn before we call it, and then observe the meeting when we've called the hymn to see how the Spirit responded to that hymn. Did it uplift the meeting? Did it lower the meeting? So we all need to be trained in this. And if you called a hymn this morning that was not so appropriate, I'm not focusing on you. I've done that before. And don't worry, we're all learning together.
Amen.
We need to be trained on how to have a proper Lord's table.
Amen.
In some churches, the brothers even critique the meeting after the Lord's table is over and help the saints to consider the hymns that were sung. I don't know if we'll ever do that, but it wouldn't hurt us. So, point two says, all distractions should be avoided. If we call certain hymns can even distract us from the Lord. This would be a shame. And I might just mention that regarding the Lord's table meeting, because this meeting was commanded to us by the Lord, do this in remembrance of me. I don't know if any other church meeting was commanded by the Lord like that, but this meeting was directed to us by the Lord. So we need to really do our best to be here on time. When we come on time, the meeting can be take off right at the start. The way we've been practicing the Lord's table, it starts very slow. It builds up and builds up until about 10 o'clock when we reach a climax. The Lord's table meeting should begin right at 9:30 and take off immediately.
Amen.
This requires us all to be diligent to be here.
Amen.
We're all on time for our jobs. We need to try to be on time for the Lord's table.
Amen.
This is much more important, much more significant. So let's read together point five. By breaking the bread to apprehend with appreciation, are we all together?
No. Where are you?
Roman numeral 2, B, 5. By breaking the bread to apprehend with appreciation, thanks and... Sorry, I guess that was A5.
A4B.
Anyway, I think we all found it by now. So, the first point in enjoying the Lord's table is breaking the bread to apprehend with appreciation and thanks the Lord's physical body being broken for us. So we may not have appreciated the actual breaking of the bread. I know I haven't appreciated that myself. But we need to realize the Lord said, do this. When he broke the bread, he said, do this in the remembrance of me. So the breaking of the bread is actually very significant and implies the breaking of the Lord's body on the cross for us. And next week, we'll continue this outline and fellowship regarding the eating of the bread and the drinking of the wine. Praise the Lord. Let's have the announcements now.